I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
2 days we will be off. The show will be off because the Padres are in New York getting set to take on the Mets, and their game times will be at 4 o'clock the next 2 days. Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports, joins us from New York, where the Padres are getting set to take on the Mets. Matt, how are you doing today? Thanks for the time.
No.
Is there any buzz yet about Chris Paddock making the start tomorrow night? I would think that would get everybody's attention in New York.
I think it's going to be a pretty big topic tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon when they get there. Wasn't really as brought up that much this weekend. I mean, obviously the Mets had some pretty heartbreaking losses to the Giants there in a series where, you know, you kind of felt, I mean, they had a chance to sweep. They instead lose 3 of 4. And it kind of reinforced only the notion that, I mean, this team has to sell at the deadline. But, I mean, that's certainly going to be a very big and popular point of discussion before tomorrow's game.
Matt Ehalt joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Yahoo Sports. Matt, let's talk a little bit about both of these teams, right? They're both coming in, not playing their best baseball. Padres are, I guess, they're in it, but, you know, they're not in it, you know what I'm saying?
They're so on the fringe.
What's the buzz you're hearing around this Mets ball club in terms of the sell pieces that they may be willing to give up?
Well, I mean, you kind of just described the Padres. That's the Mets too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense, they're, I think, a game or a game and a half behind the Padres. I mean, you can say they're in it, they're not really in it. I mean, the big question for them is Zach Wheeler. Wheeler right now is on the IL with a right shoulder fatigue. If he comes back, he's scheduled to probably return Friday or Saturday. If he can come back, make sure his velocity is fine, there's nowhere for the worst, the Mets will then have a few days to try and sell him. Now, obviously the question with all this, though, is after you've been sidelined for an extended period of time with a right shoulder fatigue, you're not going to get the offers they would have before. Like, you know, going into this, Wheeler, you know, if, especially now if Bumgarner's not going, Wheeler's probably him and Stroman are the top two guys out there, and it's going to take more to get Stroman because he's got more control. You know, Wheeler could have been set up to be the guy. Now, suddenly, if Wheeler is not healthy, the Mets are going to be a thing. They might not get the offers they thought they were going to get, and then they're going to have to decide. I mean, do they keep the guy, try the whole qualifying offer, re-sign him thing? You know, so it's going to be very interesting. There's going to be watching how Zach Wheeler pitches when he returns this weekend.
Matt Ehalt, Yahoo Sports in New York, covers the Mets, Padres and Mets. A lot of people think they're going to be trade partners. I don't know if that'll end up happening before the trade deadline, Matt, but obviously we've heard about Noah Syndergaard for over a year out here. I'm sure that means in New York they've heard about him just as long. One of the pieces the Padres may have is the young second baseman Luis Urias, but I wanted to caution everybody. If you're thinking about trading him to the Mets are pretty good at second base for a while, are they not, with Jeff McNeil?
Well, I mean, they have Cano blocking him, remember.
So they McNeil have Cano, too,
McNeil next year is probably going to slide in as their everyday third baseman. I mean, you know, the Mets have looked at the idea of possibly moving Ahmed Rosario to center field. So, I mean, you know, they could always slot a guy into shortstop, but, you know, the Mets do have two second basemen, and, I mean, they can't move Cano. That's an immovable contract, and that's his position. So, you know, the Mets kind of, that's one of the other downsides of that deal. When they got Cano, they locked him into the lineup for the next, you know, 5 years.
Matt, I mean, it's probably a little early to ask this question, but I feel like it's necessary. You guys, the Mets went out and hired a former agent to be their GM and Brody Van Wagenen. What is the talk around him as far as the job that's been done thus far? I know it's not even through year one yet, but what's been the kind of the grade so far on job done?
Oh, it's a D and F, depending on who you're talking to. I gave him a D at the midway point, and I mean, you know, I mean, because frankly, almost all of his moves have backfired. I mean, you know, the Cano Diaz deal has been a disaster so far. I mean, Wilson Rock been okay, but he's been poor defensively. The starters don't want to throw to him. Then you look around, Familia's been awful. Jed Lowry can't play. So, you know, he's made some really bad moves that have blown up so far. Now, you know, I don't think anybody thought Cano and Diaz would be this bad, right? Nobody thought Familia Lowry would do that, but hey, that's a risk that you take. So, I mean, you know, I kind of thought this whole time, the pressure is really now on Brody, I find, because, you know, I think it's one thing to come in to make some big, bold moves to acquire guys, you know, the way he did. Now it's on him to fix this because, you know, the Mets are, they're in a win-now mode. And right now, I mean, they're on pace to win 74 games. So how is he going to fix this? Because, you know, I don't think personally, after everything the Mets did, Mets can't just suddenly go trade everybody because, no. I mean, then you're basically – I mean, you basically set the franchise back probably like 5 years if you do it that way. So they're going to have to really, you know, this is where Brody's going to show his experience and experience. Can he work and retool this team? Because, you know, the Mets do have some good young pieces that you can build around.
Eric, let me ask you about Noah Syndergaard and what he would be. If the Padres ended up getting Noah Syndergaard, what would we be getting?
That's the great question with Noah Syndergaard. And I don't mean to like, I mean, because, you know, if we talked 2 years ago, one of the big questions right now is who is Noah Syndergaard, right? Like, I mean, we're not that far removed from where this guy was one of the best pitchers in baseball. And his stuff is still electric. I mean, but everything is, you know, this year, while everybody's ERA is up, his ERA has gone up. So he clearly has not been as good as normal. And he hasn't been an ace in a really long time. So, I mean, I think he's a guy who, like, I don't want to use the word tease, but, you know, you certainly see stuff from him some days. I mean, you know, he pitched a really two good games on this road trip against the Giants and the Marlins. Granted, those are two of the worst hitting teams in baseball, but you saw it. But then there's other days where you watch him and he just, you're just like, his stuff is too good for him to get hit hard like this.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now, I mean, I can't tell. I don't think Noah Syndergaard is an ace anymore. I think he's more of probably a number two at this point, which is fine. I mean, he can be one of the best twos in the league, but I just don't think right now we really haven't seen the quote-unquote, like, ace front of the rotation guy stuff from him in a long time.
Matt, I got one more before we let you get out of here. Obviously, last time the Mets and Padres faced off, Pete Alonso caught some fire, unsolicited fire, by the way, from our young stud, Chris Paddock. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but just talk a little bit about Pete Alonso, because based on what I've heard from him, he seems like a pretty mild-mannered guy with just a lot of ability. And I know there was a lot of people around that organization that really raved about him coming up from last year to this year. He had a whole bunch of home runs in the minor league, which you very rarely see.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's got a good head on his shoulder. Really, I mean, has been him and Jeff McNeil have been the two, and DeGrom have been the bright spots in the season. Really, head on his shoulder. He's a good around ball kid. I mean, he's going to be a franchise favorite for a long time. I mean, plays the game right, plays the game hard. You know, he has a little confidence. I mean, I don't want to say arrogance, but he certainly is a confident guy here. And, you know, I mean, certainly he's a guy that the fan base absolutely. So, you know, he's really turned into, and I'll say this, I mean, rallied around him when that whole stuff with Paddock happens with the rookie of the year stuff. I mean, they really, so I mean, I'll tell you tomorrow night, it's going to be very interesting. I mean, I don't think Paddock against the Mets once in his career, he's not going to get a very, he's going to be booed like he was an Atlanta Brave.
He's going to get his first big round of
booze. I think we're all anticipating
that. I would think that's the case for sure. Hey, Matt, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And enjoy the week. Try to stay cool.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You bet. Matt Ehalt from Yahoo Sports. I don't know why I wanted to keep calling him Eric. I apologize for that, Matt. But I know, I know what it's like. Craig.
You know, yeah, I was about to say.
I'm pretty aware of that.
Mr. Elo.
Yeah, him. Yeah, I think Chris Paddock is going to have his first real round of boos tomorrow night. And I don't think it's going to be for, like, just his introduction.
It's going to be the whole game.
I think it's going to be the whole game, or for as long as he's out there. Because there's no question that the Met fans remember that. And, you know, look, it was something that Paddock brought on himself. So you got to wear it, as Tony likes to say.
The thing, Chris, thing about Chris, is that he might be one of those dudes that will enjoy it.
Yeah,
and
right.
If that's the case, this is right up his alley.
Right. If it works for him and he goes and pitch lights out to the booing, then by all means, call out more players. Matt Ehalt from Yahoo Sports joined us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDCCU.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I would think so. Let's get started on this Big Five.
Yes.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
So I appreciate everyone who has submitted Big Five stories to me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby.
Have you been soliciting
I have.
Stories from our listeners?
I have. And they've given me some crazy ones that I say, I don't think we can talk about this on the radio. like that.
You got to filter some of them.
If you've got that many, maybe you should do a big four and then let the fifth one be a guest question every day.
That might be.
See what listeners want to talk about.
He might not be doing that because maybe more of their questions are being used than just one.
I will let people know when I use one of their questions.
All right.
But not today. Not today. But not today. If you want to send them to me, at Matt Scraby, MattSkraby.
And make sure you send them to Scraby because he's not going to use them.
That's not true.
All right.
I am the Padres pen pallers master. I use all of theirs.
Triple P's.
I'm not kidding. I had someone at Comic-Con call me a triple P'er, and I said, that's right.
How did they spot you in your Comic-Con costume?
Because I did not wear a costume. I see where you're going there.
You told me you're going to dress up as my fifth favorite superhero, Robin.
Oh, no, no.
Speaking of Robin.
Yeah. Robin, you know, a lot of people have told me that Robin has a big crush on Batman, so that might be...
Oh, brother.
Wait, did you take a poll out there and ask him about... Or did
I
you
did.
See anybody
no, no,
in a
I
Robin
did.
Outfit?
I was... No, I didn't see anyone in a Robin outfit. I walked around and I said, hey, if we give you top five superheroes, would Robin be in your list? And everybody scoffed at me.
Nobody would say yes. I'm the only one.
They scoffed at me.
By the way, if Robin did like Batman...
Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's not what I said. I'm just...
It's exactly what you said.
No, it was really fun. I wore my 97.3 The Fan shirt thinking I was going to shoot video. Had never been inside Comic-Con. Didn't realize it's crowded.
Yeah, you're not
you can't do
much
anything
video.
In
yeah.
there.
You thought you were going to, set up and, video?
I thought I was going to set up, interview people. It wasn't like that. These nerds had no time for me.
It's a Comic-Con.
They had zero time for me. I actually asked this Spider-Man guy because he was wearing a really good Spider-Man.
Somebody
thing.
Had a Predator outfit on.
There was
a
couple.
It was scary.
Legit.
It was super legit.
There's some people that spend thousands of dollars on these costumes. But I asked a Spider-Man who looked really, really good, and he was wearing the skin tight stuff. And I asked him, I can't believe I'm admitting this.
He looked really, really good.
Well, you got to finish this story.
No, I said, how many people say you have a nice looking butt?
You asked that?
I did.
Okay. Can we get a Scraby, please? Can we please get one?
And he said, not many.
Scraby!
I said, I'm not going to.
Did you follow up by telling the guy, I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now?
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now. No, I said that they're doing a disservice to his costume because his butt is popping, is what I said.
Oh my All God. Right, please move on to the Big Five.
Can we go? Yes.
Number five.
I can't believe I
you
just...
You may not be able to even start the Big Five
I can't believe I just even admitted that live on the radio. UFC champion John Jones is facing a battery charge stemming from an alleged April incident in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jones, who holds the UFC light heavyweight title, is accused of slapping a cocktail waitress just we're gonna leave it at that. At a strip club, there's a lot of stuff.
You can't leave it at that. You gotta explain.
All right, he's accused of slapping a cocktail waitress in her genital area at a strip club, and more that I won't say because there's stuff that I can't say on the radio. So if you really want to find out what he did, you can look it up.
You just admitted that Spider-Man's butt was popping. You can say just about anything.
Can we please tape that?
Oh my god!
For sure.
Oh my god! What time is it? 4:43:48. That was maybe the best thing Chris has ever said on the show.
I think it was.
Yeah, the reason I couldn't, I mean, I'm not going to say it, is because it's bad. It's bad.
Read the article, yes.
And John Jones has been putting himself in this position for a while. KRQE Television in Albuquerque was the first to report the news. The woman told Albuquerque police that Jones put her in a chokehold and picked her up off the ground, per the news station. When she asked Jones to stop, she said Jones continued touching her until he decided to leave. So John Jones himself has denied this happening. And he does currently hold, I believe, the UFC light heavyweight title. Even if this isn't true, Chris, has John Jones made it impossible for the UFC to keep him under contract?
If it's not true? I mean, if this lady just completely made it up and is trying to besmirch his name?
If it's that bad, where she's completely making up?
I mean, it's always hard to believe that anyone would make some of this stuff up when people deny it and say, well, I didn't have... No, she's crazy.
Well, John Jones has been known for putting himself in bad positions.
This guy does have a history, right?
He does.
Being in these kinds of situations. So I don't know what the UFC does. I don't know where their level is. I'm not that interested in the UFC. But to me, if you get rid of all of these guys, you're not going to have too many fighters left. It's a problem.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about how are you going to get one of your best fighters out and replace him. Tony's sitting here giving me the look.
No, don't say that. I'm just sitting here looking.
He's just sitting there. Don't put words in his mouth.
What do you think? Do you think that he's made it impossible, John Jones, for the UFC to keep among the staff?
If this turns out to be true?
Yes.
Or not true, I should say. If it turns out to be true.
The reason I ask this question either way is because John Jones is putting the UFC into a bad light whenever these things come out. Which is often at this point.
I don't know that he's putting the UFC in a bad light. He's putting himself in one. Not really.
It's a barbaric sport. So I think people don't necessarily attach UFC to the behavior of their employees, so to speak. Answer your question. If this turns out not to be true, no, I don't think it's impossible for UFC to keep under track. It turns out to be even partially true. Yes, it makes it a little bit more difficult for the UFC to keep him. But listen, I also thought that the third time he got popped for steroids was enough for him to be out of the thing. So
he's lasted this long.
Clearly, that's not the case. So
talk about the NFL and baseball being enablers for these guys. The UFC, give me a break.
I'll hold my judgment based on what the police say.
Okay. I just got a tweet from someone saying... pretty much why did you admit that on the radio?
It's never going away now.
Same thing else we were all wondering.
Yeah, that was really weird. I really don't know what's going on in my mouth right now. Let's go to number four. We all know that Tiger Woods wears red when he plays on Sundays, but did you know PGA Tour star Ricky Fowler wears
orange?
Doesn't
Spider-Man also wear red?
He does.
Okay.
A little splash of blue, too.
In his booty region, it's blue, though. Okay. So.
You would know.
I would know, because I looked.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler wears... why am I having such a hard time focusing?
Because you know you put your foot in your mouth earlier and you can't quite get it out.
I know. I'm turning red. I'm sweating again. Ricky Fowler wears orange on Sundays that he plays because he went to Oklahoma State, so he usually dresses in head-to-toe orange, but in Northern Ireland, the color orange is a controversial color because of the long battle between Ireland and Northern Ireland, so people asked Ricky if he was planning on wearing orange at the Open Championship in Northern Ireland, and he did say, I'm aware of the strong feeling in regards to the color, but I've been told it's not so much a problem if an outsider wears it. So he did wear orange, but it was a toned-down version, only wearing orange in his hat and in his belt. So, Tony, would you have worn orange if you were Ricky Fowler?
Would I have worn
You wear
orange?
It every single final round.
Yep. Yes, I would wear it.
Even though you're not in your country, you're visiting somewhere else.
It's not my beef. I'm just here to play golf. I want to wear what I think is going to help me win on Sunday. And if it's orange, I'm wearing orange.
Okay. I don't know why you're getting mad at me, Chris.
I'm not. I would try to respect this. Just to keep the controversy away from me. Not only that, Ricky Fowler's never won a major, so he should try wearing something different on Sundays at the Open Championship.
Burn.
I don't mean to knock the guy. I'm just saying maybe he should try something different.
By the way,
the orange hasn't worked yet.
That one of those guys in the Brooks Koepka list of guys who finished top four is Ricky Fowler.
I know.
He finished top five in all four majors in 2014.
Very impressive.
Yeah. So,
but
all right.
I have a good Ricky Fowler story. One of these days, I'll tell you guys.
Oh, we got
to finish the big five.
We will.
Yeah.
Number three.
How real is the Manny Machado effect for the Padres? Well, let's just say the Padres have the biggest spike in TV ratings in baseball this season, increasing an incredible 81% according to Awful Announcing. Nationally, though, the local TV markets have seen a decrease of 4%. And it doesn't just stop at TV. I think us here in the radio station, we've seen a spike here on the radio side as well, with callers, with participation, with a lot of people that we haven't seen before. So the next closest team that increased is the Twins with a 41% TV ratings increase. So, Chris, is Manny Machado the sole reason for the TV ratings increase here in San Diego?
No. If the Padres' record was 21-61 right now, if Manny Machado on the team, the increase wouldn't be as big as it is. The reason is because the team's interesting, fun to watch, and they've played mostly meaningful games up until about this point in the season. And now it can go one way or the other. But no, I don't think Manny Machado is 100% responsible for that. Now, he is in a lot of ways responsible for why this franchise is better than it was a year ago. So to that extent, I guess he's responsible for the ratings increase. But no, I think people are watching more because they're a better team.
What do you think, Tony? Why are people watching more to an 81% increase?
Manny Machado, winning games, and Fernando Tatis Jr.
In that order?
In the order, winning games? I'd say it's a split between Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. Listen, it gives you cachet the moment you sign a guy like Manny Machado. Now, you got to go out and win ball games, and they did that at a higher rate than they have in a very long time in the first half of the season. And that builds hope. And when you have hope in a city,
you've turned the TV on.
You're going to have – I'm going to turn the game on to see what's going on. And then when you top that off with the comeback victories that they've had, there's been quite a few, some outrageous, some just – your regular run-of-the-mill comebacks, that's the kind of hope you build, and people respond to that.
Don't forget number four on that list of reasons to watch. The seventh inning update with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Believe
and Mike Palmer.
Oh, yes.
Lots
Believe
of people.
It.
Nobody misses that. I wouldn't miss it.
My Spider-Man comment, I'm realizing really quickly, is never going to go away. Someone tweeted
just
me.
Blowing. You're going to get nothing but Spider-Man stuff now for a while.
Twitter is going to be, once again, undefeated.
Former Benchwarmer Tech, at David Marcus, not our David Marcus,
different
I believe,
Marcus.
Different one, says, for your viewing pleasure, and it's Spider-Man with his butt in the air, and it says, rockin' booty everywhere.
Booty, 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 rockin' everywhere.
Oh, my God. All right, let's go.
Number two.
Jets running back Le'Veon Bell's had enough of social media, so much so he took to Instagram to explain what he is frustrated about. Here's what he said.
Hey, real bro. I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me how
Le'Veon.
You're not focused. You only want to make music. You want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking, man. I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete. Your mom, your dad, whoever y'all do. So if somebody work at Target, do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They try to worry about what serial number's coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. He won't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work, she don't act.
Oh, man, that was from Le'Veon Bell's official Instagram. Really great rant. You have to go look
so
up the
So he basically
whole thing.
Took to social media to say that he's not going to be on social media.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Exactly. Just take that for what it is.
Tony,
at the upcoming season end, where will Le'Veon Bell rank amongst running backs in the league? And we're going to say, you know, at the end of the year, who's the best running back in the league?
I think he'll be top five.
Okay.
I do. He looks in tremendous shape.
He does.
For all the 260 talk out there, 265.
It's not true.
Certainly isn't true. And this makes me even more than I have, like, really question what I read and what I see because clearly the man, no matter what we say, no matter how much beach time he had throughout the course of the year because he didn't play, he took care of business. He looks like he's in tremendous shape. Now, it's always about production, what he does during the regular season. And I don't know if we should talk about playoffs, but considering he plays for the Jets right now, I know they're going to be a better team, but they got a lot to prove. But clearly he's taking care of business. I like the rant. It was funny to me.
Me too. Chris, what do you think? Where is he going to rank at the end of the year?
You said, will he be top five, or Tony just said top five?
He said top five. I'm just saying, when I ask you at the end of the year, who was the best running back in the league, right, where is Le'Veon Bell on your list?
Yeah, I think he's going to struggle to get that lofty. Jets were 26th running the football last year in the National Football League. They'd have to move way up. Le'Veon Bell will help them move up, I would think. But to me, you still need blocking. And I the way he runs, you need sustained blocking. Right? Because he waits and waits
patience.
And waits.
Very patient.
And picks his spot. Well, with the Jets, he may wait and wait and get destroyed about 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage while he's waiting. Now, he'll end up having a nice year because he's that good of a player. But top five might be a little high because I don't think the Jets will run that well.
That's a good point.
Number one.
All right, Fangraphs did a series of posts counting down the 50 most valuable commodities in baseball, taking into account everything from talent to age, production, and contract status. They ranked Fernando Tatis Jr. as the second most valuable asset in all of baseball, right in front of Mike Trout and Cody Bellinger at number three and four. Fangraphs is saying they would not trade Tatis straight up for Trout or Bellinger or anyone else in baseball except for Ronald Acuna of the Braves. Ben Woods is on every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m., and they had an author of this article on the show. We don't have time to play it. We'll play it later. But Kylie McDaniel came on, and he said pretty much that Fernando Tatis Jr. has outperformed everything that everyone expected. They did not expect him to be this good this soon. So, Chris, do you think Tatis has been better defensively or offensively this year?
Offensively.
Okay.
For Exhibit A, I show you the last week.
Okay. Good point.
He hasn't been able to get a throw to first base. That's a high ranking for him, too. I mean, and it's, you know, I hope that people keep that under reasonable expectations. I mean, number two in all of baseball ahead of Mike Trout, it's a little early to put him up that high. But, you know, if you're going to do an article like this, you got to make it kind of interesting. You can't just go with the status quo. So I think that has something to do with these kinds of articles. You think of who's going to be the most interesting to put in so people will be talking about your article. But it's nice to have him mentioned, but gosh, I don't know that he's quite that high. Sorry, I ran into the music talk.
I can tell you right off top why he's number one on this list. It's because of his age and his controllability.
He's controlled till 2024.
The other guys who are behind him, Bellinger, Trout just got paid a whole bunch of money, and Bellinger's going to be due for a payday here shortly. So to answer your question, offensively, nobody could have predicted he'd be in the 315 to 330 area with some damage and a whole lot of chaos causing the bases.
Power.
Everything. Five tools.
Speaking of chaos, that's our big five today. Gwen and Chris comes back with hour number three. Scraby will spend the break looking for spiders.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time for a countdown today. Let's go.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. This is, Tony had mentioned our five favorite restaurants. I kind of was thinking a little slightly different than that because restaurants to me calls in, you know, five-star joints and places where you have to get dressed up and go pay $150
okay,
for a meal.
I got you.
There are great restaurants in San Diego. I don't frequent them very often unless somebody else takes me out and is paying the bill. That's how cheap I am. So I thought it'd be more fun to kind of do five favorite places to eat, because that would incorporate a little of everything. If you wanted to be a big time restaurant,
some of the hole in the wall spots we like to go to.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many fun hole in the wall spots in this town. I didn't want to leave them out. So that's going to be the list countdown today. Top five places we like to eat. And I'm looking forward to your list, because I know it's going to be awesome.
You think so?
Number five.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Sonic's.
Sonic, number five.
Got to go to Sonic's. I mean, you guys have heard us rave about the slushies. What's your favorite? The peach vanilla?
Vanilla peach.
Vanilla peach?
Yeah, but you could probably get it also if you called it peach vanilla. Yeah.
Think I'll get the same?
They give it to you. You imagine you ordered and they go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I'm my fault. Can I get the vanilla peach?
Yes, and then they give it to you.
But yeah, Sonic's has got to be on that list. Just a good place to stop by and take it back old school.
It's just a fun place to go. No question. All right, number five for me. This place is called Mike's. It's in Escondido. Thanks, Mike. The best barbecue that I've seen or tasted ever in San Diego.
Really?
Yeah.
This is it where?
And I don't mean to knock any other barbecue place, because I've been to a few of them, but I'm not really big fans of those other ones.
Yeah.
Like, and you know which ones I'm talking about, because they come up every time somebody says, let's go get barbecue.
Yeah.
All right, well, try Mike's in Escondido.
I need to write this down.
I have been there. It's delicious.
It is unbelievable, and it never seems to get into the conversation for barbecue, but it's right off the freeway.
It's just Mike's.
Mike's.
Not Mike's barbecue, Escondido. Just Mike's.
Mike's in Escondido, yeah. And it's right off the freeway there, and I don't remember what exit, but I've only been there a couple times. They've actually fed me in the past, and man, they are all, I think it's the best. So there you go.
That's a good one.
Free
barbecue sauce?
No, free
barbecue sauce.
No, just never mind.
Did you already hit four? All right, number four for me, Petco Park.
What?
I mean, listen.
What?
If you go to Petco Park, they
have a lot of choices,
more options than you can need.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm there a lot, so I have to eat there
good
a
point,
lot.
Good point.
So, Petco Park, so it slides in at number four. When I'm there as a fan, love beer gardens. Love the beer gardens. When I'm there working, I tend to hit a Lucha Libre up, which is one of my favorite spots. It would have made the list had it not been in Petco Park.
Made my list.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah. Lucha Libre, number four.
Ooh.
I think it's, and that is really, sorry, Will Myers.
That's good Mexican food.
But that is saying something to say a place is your top Mexican place, because that's beaten out a million places that are really good. I can go to about a dozen different Mexican places and be more than happy. But Lucha Libre would be the one I would pick if it was like my last Mexican meal before I moved out of town.
Ooh.
I'd go there. It's over by the airport. And then you can get it at Petco Park, too.
Get it at Petco Park.
The California Surf and
the
Burrito
California
or something?
California Surf and
with,
Turf.
Yeah, with everything in it, including French fries.
French fries.
Come on.
Steak, shrimp, avocado.
Delicious.
And then they have this sauce, chipotle sauce that goes on top.
Lucha Libre, number four for me.
Number three.
Number three for me is the Crack Shack. You guys even eaten there before?
Don't know that one.
Yeah, there's one that was built up in Encinitas.
There's one in Encinitas. They've also built one in the mall in La Jolla.
Is this the place with the giant chicken out front?
Yes.
Yes, they have a giant
it's
chicken.
It's really good.
Best chicken sandwich you'll ever taste.
Wow.
Easily.
Does that include like Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I love Chick-fil-A too.
This is, I mean, I don't even know how to really get explain
it's another
it.
Step above beyond Chick-fil-A.
It's that just it's a step above, a little smaller, so you might have to get two of them.
I can do that,
but they're delicious.
In fact, I usually do
right,
that.
Right. So do I.
By the way, at any fast
That's
food
I can
place,
get fluffy from time to time.
Yes. Fluffy, festively plump,
yeah, festively plump sometimes. Yes.
Uh huh. By the way, any fast food place or something there along those lines, why they have something called a small order of French fries is beyond me.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
If you've ever ordered a small order of French fries, do not call this show. Because we have nothing in common.
Scraby, put
you
your
have
hand
not
down.
Ordered a small French fries
to you on you? My life.
You what you ordered two small French fries?
Speaking of festively plump, come on.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. No, I sometimes will go through a nice McDonald's drive-thru and get an iced tea, an unsweetened iced tea, and a small
get
fry.
Get out of here. You're the only guy on the planet. Yeah, did
now
you hear that? Unsweetened iced tea?
I always drink unsweetened iced tea. I'm a sober guy. I need something.
You are just...
Sober, you can't have sugar?
No, but that's bad for you.
So are the French
fries. I love
fries.
Unsweetened iced
you.
Tea. I love
knock
it.
Knock it off, man.
And a small fry is not that big of a deal.
Oh, my Lord.
That sounds like somebody who goes out, gets 14 hamburgers, blah, 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 and then goes and gets an orange or Diet Coke.
Yeah, let me get that Diet Coke on
I didn't
top
say I got three Big Macs and a small fry. I said I got an unsweetened iced tea and a small fry.
I can't believe you ever delicious. Have had unsweetened iced tea. I cannot believe it. I believe if I bought a vat of unsweetened iced tea tomorrow, you would just stare at
which
it.
Are one
you
is kidding? Hard, which one is harder to believe that he bought a
oh,
small
fry? Oh, yeah, that
fry
or the small fry?
Or
I went to Chili's.
A large unsweetened iced tea at that.
I went to Chili's on Saturday, and they had to bring me four unsweetened iced teas because I drank it so fast.
Baby back. I love
Chili's.
That song.
Chili's.
All right. Number, what was that, three?
Two. Oh, wait,
no, three.
Three
I think
for
we're
you.
On three because I haven't said three yet. My number three place is in an Italian restaurant. Getting away from the faster food places here for a moment. It's in South Park. You know where South Park is? It's just south of North Park. But.
I know where South Park is.
The place is called Buena Focaccia.
Oh.
And they have one now in Liberty Station, and they've ordered and opened another one, I believe, somewhere else. I can't remember.
Favorite dish there?
Anything carbonara.
Mm.
Pasta carbonara. I can't. I've been to Italy, luckily. And
did that ruin pasta for you here?
No, because Buena Focaccia is just as good.
Oh, okay.
And all right. The waiters and waitresses are like from the streets of Rome. I mean, they all kind of talk that broken English with the Italian thing. It feels as close to Italy as you're going to get on the sidewalks of South Park in San Diego. But I think Buena Focaccia is the bomb when it comes to Italian food.
The
love
bomb.
It. And their pizza's tremendous, just like in Italy.
Number two.
Number two for me is a place that... Well, when I was playing there, I don't know if they still do, but they used to come down and cater the food for after game. Sushi on the Rocks.
Uh-huh.
Step away, as you said, from the fast food for a second.
Yeah.
Get some of that nice sliced up sashimi. Some of the best sushi you'll ever have here in San Diego. One of my favorite spots. They do a little bit of everything. They mix it up. Got some different special rolls that will blow your mind. But this
where
is, one
is the
there's
sushi on the
there's
rocks.
One in La Jolla, okay. And there's also one in 4S.
I think I've been to the La Jolla one.
Very good though. Very good.
I think sushi's got to make my list, and it hasn't yet, but it will.
Mm. I'll be waiting.
All right. Number two for me is Sonic. Like I put it way up there, because honestly, when I need what is a just kind of a feel-good meal or just something to make me feel happy.
Comfort food.
Comfort food, comfort meal. Just, I mean, that's where I would go.
Yeah.
I know it to a lot of people, they say, really? Yeah, that's where I would go. And I'm not saying it because they promote our show. I love Sonic. I just think it was one of the greatest things San Diego ever brought to town.
You know, what's interesting is I didn't really know much about Sonic until I started playing minor league ball.
Uh-huh.
Because there were
and then they showed up everywhere.
They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I find myself eating. And then when they first put one here in San Diego, I was like, all right.
I don't know if you remember the one that they put in Santee, the very first one. But the first 2 months, you had to wait. They had to come down the street to take your order.
It's like In-N-Out
line
when
was
they
so
first
long.
Opened it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, In-N-Out's still a little bit like that.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. But I'm a Sonic guy.
Number one.
Number one, this is me, right?
This is you.
This one takes me back to my childhood years in Poway. A little mom and pop spot that was tucked away in the corner on Twin Peaks Road in Espola called El Ranchito.
El Ranchito.
Famous for their flautas. I mean, people were ditching school to get to lunch early because they knew the lines would be long. And if you waited till that first lunch bell rang and get in your car,
too late.
You're going to be late getting back to your next class when lunch ended. So El Ranchito still sits atop my best Mexican food restaurant here in San Diego.
And that's really saying something.
It is.
There's so many good Mexican places.
That are deserving of the top spot, but El Ranchito has a special, special place in my heart.
Man, if you're El Ranchito right now, you are a happy place. right, number one for me, I told you we were going to go back to sushi, and my sushi choice is a place called Sushi Deli. There's three of them. Scraby just about lost his.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe you just mentioned them.
Sushi Deli. Let me take notes.
Good or bad?
Good. Okay.
Mike's in Escondido and Sushi Deli.
Sushi Deli, there's three locations. Again, I sound like I'm a commercial. There's one in Kearny Mesa, there's one downtown, and there's one in, I forget what it's called, Mission Heights, I think. Washington Boulevard and near the Five. Anyway, Sushi Deli has the best sushi for the best price. Like, I don't know if it's the tip of the line sushi, best ever in term, but it's very, 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 very good. But the price combined with how good the sushi is makes Sushi Deli the place. And you always have to wait an hour to get in there, unfortunately. They don't take reservations.
The countdown is now closed.
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Joining us right now is a guy who's probably got his own list of five best places to eat in San Diego. He is Bill Center, Padres historian and a great writer formerly for the San Diego Union Tribune. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good, guys. I'm just getting hungry here listening.
Oh, totally.
All of us are hungry.
Yeah,
now,
I know, man. You could do your list, and I would pay very good attention to it.
Well, my list would all be under $1.95, if you keep can't it, lunch for that.
Yeah, well, cause, so maybe you would get a small fries then. Hey, Bill, all right, we're kind of trying to figure out what the Padres are going to do in the next 9 days. Do you think they have a clear picture of what they want to do right now, or do you think that the Padres are kind of waiting to see what direction they go in the next week or so?
Well, I think that they've probably already made a decision. And it's always interesting to me because everybody's expected Preller to make big trades. And generally, he has not at this time of the year. He's sort of held his hand and made, you know, trades later in the winter or whatever. I'm not quite sure what they're going to do this year. I'm not for trading a lot of the pieces they have. This is a young team that I think is going to improve with age. I know a lot of people say Kirby Yates, trade him. I like holding on to closers. I mean, to me, you got to have somebody at the back end to win games. And I know there might not be, you know, the number of games they need to win, but this guy is somebody who's going to be here this year. What he does works over time, and I say hold on to him. So I'm not inclined right now to say, hey, go out and make a lot of moves. I want to see what's going to happen when Garrett Richards is ready and when Donaldson Lamet has some time to get into shape and see where we're going to be.
Bill, obviously, Luis Urias comes back up, makes his start this weekend in Chicago, or second time back up. Where do you stand with him and how he fits with this ball club?
Well, you know what? I want to give him a long run. I want to see what he does. We've seen him for 2 weeks last year. We saw him for less than a month at the start of this year. This is a great time. If you're not in a playoff run, this is a great time to say you're playing for at least 30, 45 days straight. Let's see what you can do. Let's see if you take pitches. Let's see if you get on base. We're not going to judge you on 1, 2, or 7, or 10 games. So I want to see him over a period of time. Now that I got Greg Garcia on my team no matter what.
Right, right.
But for them to carry 3 second basemen doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there.
I agree with that. We brought that up a little earlier. Bill Center is with us talking a little Padres baseball here, trying to sort through this whole thing. Bill, if the Padres were to make a trade, if they did, if they brought something in, where would you start? What area would you attack? Do you feel this team needs the most? And let's say we weren't going to just let it all play out. We were going to make a move here at the deadline. Where would you go?
I would probably go for a controllable top of the rotation starter. And they got a lot of talent in the minor leagues. I would be willing to give up some of those prospects. No, I'm not giving up Mackenzie Gore. But they've got a lot of other ones, and I'd be willing to give up some of those prospects, not just for any starter, a controllable starter, a young guy who looks like he's going to be a top of a rotation. I think that they've got a lot of young starters who are going to develop into 3, 4, 5 type of guys. Paddock higher than that, of course, but I want to see somebody with a little bit of experience, number one, that you can control for at least 2 or 3 more years and build from there. And I'm willing to trade some of the starting pitchers they have right now, some of the guys they have in the minor leagues, to get that one top rotation guy.
Bill Centers joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Padre historian. Bill, you know, we focus a lot on the pitching prospects that the Padres have. You don't hear a lot about the position players other than Luis Urias and maybe Xavier Edwards. There's not a lot of conversation about it. Now, you being pretty, you know, well entrenched in this organization, who are the position player prospects that maybe we don't hear about?
Well, I think there are a lot out there, and it's interesting to me. Of course, guys like Naylor are no longer a prospect. He was right up long enough that he lost that prospect asterisk by his name. It's interesting to me because there are some position players that are coming on in the second half of this season. Edward Olivares, outfielder, who got off to a slow start with Amarillo, is now playing very well. Gabriel Arias, 19 years old in the California League, has raised his batting average about 30 points to .283 in the last month, and he hits with power, and he's an exceptional fielder. Exactly what the Padres don't need is another young shortstop.
Right.
So maybe there's a chip. I mean, 19, a very young player in the California League. Maybe there's a chip that you play in a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 trade to get what you want. There are guys out there like that. There, you know, now you have Travis Jankowski, who took off the 60-day disabled list today, and they moved him, optioned him to El Paso. You've got a lot of young talent out there, which some of it is backed up, and some of it's not going to make the major leagues. And then a lot of it is young. Xavier Edwards, who recently moved, also is at Lake Elsinore at 19 years old. There's another guy to think about for the future. They have young prospects at position in this organization.
It's unbelievable. I mean, if you're A.J. Preller and you sit back and you look up on a board and you look at all of the people that you have, like, who do you deal, who do you keep, who's going to be part of your ball club going forward? I don't know. It's got to be crazy.
I think you look at the depth of certain positions. I really do.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, I don't, do you trade an Olivares? Well, you've got a lot of young outfielders, so maybe you do trade Edward Olivares. But it's interesting to me that a couple of years ago, Franmil Reyes wasn't even considered a top 30 prospect by people who looked at this organization. Now you look at him and you wonder how that ever happened.
Right.
Hudson Potts is a third baseman. There's another one. He's ranked in the top 10 prospects in the organization. He doesn't really have an avenue to the major leagues right now, with Manny's having signed for a long-term contract. So maybe you find somebody who is interested, needs a young third baseman.
Yeah, Potts is in the same boat as Ty France as well. So
yeah,
they got some position players that they can use as chips, as you said, Bill.
No question
right.
about it.
I mean, you go back to Lake Elsinore, 20-year-old catcher Luis Campusano is hitting about 320. I mean, you're backed up at catcher too because you got Hedges and Mejia. So they've got a lot of young. They have a lot of young talent. Some, I mean, Tucapita Mercano, who very young player from the Latin program, who is really playing well at Fort Wayne. They have a number of young players in the organization. Like you said, Chris, you hear about the pitching, you don't hear about the position players so much right now.
Bill, appreciate it. We could go on for another hour, but we got to go eat. So
I got to ask you, if you had one place to go to, though, where would you go for dinner tonight?
Sushi Deli was at the top of my list, so I'd
that's sushi. So that you'd settle for Sushi Deli, okay.
That'd be my call.
That'd be your call.
I'll All see right. you over there in about an hour.
Yeah, except I'm terribly allergic to fish.
Well, we'll have to catch you the next time.
So if you invite me to Sushi Deli, I think you're sending me a bad message there.
I'll figure something out you like. My list is quite lengthy, so.
Oh, yeah, I know it is.
Yeah. Hey, thanks,
Mine
Bill.
Mine starts with ribs.
Okay, Mike is in Escondido. Try that.
I got you. I'll see you guys.
Thanks,
Take care.
Bill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.